Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Hump Day edition of the Yard. Hope things are well with you wherever you are today. Getting an earlier start today. Got a lot of things to say, a lot of things to cover. A lot has happened since we were together last. And so I think it's important for us to go ahead and get the show done. Plus, it kind of frees up the evening a little bit too. But all of that understood, I hope that you are well. We are now, 10 days away from the beginning of Mississippi State's college football season. There will be some college football on Thursday night if you're so inclined to watch that. But we talked about that little Monday show. We're not going to delve into that. There are more pressing issues. So before we get to that, though, another Robertson rant here. I want to know, what is wrong with people, right? What is wrong with people? It absolutely drives me crazy. Like, I used to be a people person until people ruined it, right? But Dolly Parton, a national treasure, a worldwide celebrity, known for her goodness, her talent, and just her grace, right? And now people want to, like, gatekeep her over politics? Are you kidding me? She did an amazing job of remaining apolitical because she wanted to sell records to everybody on both sides of the aisle. She never took a hardline approach to really anything other than helping other people. And so why, within one day or less than 24 hours after her passing, are people trying to politicize the death of Dolly Parton? What is wrong with you? My gosh, let her rest as she lived. As a beautiful, talented person that appealed to all people, she was incredibly generous with her money and invested in communities that many other people wouldn't have. It's because she felt it was the right thing to do. But it's like, hey, if you're mourning her, no, she wasn't one of you. You know, I don't think she'd want to be one of you. But, you know, she'd be a lot more gracious about it than I would be. Dolly Parton loved all people and showed people tenderness and kindness. And I have so many friends that have met her. And they talked about what a special moment it was because she actually exceeded their expectations. It's like, I knew Dolly was great, but then when I met her, she was so engaging and so personal. It's just one of those things that just blows my mind. Why are you so insecure? Random Facebook commenter. You know, what is wrong in your life that you have to politicize the death of someone that was universally loved to try to make yourself feel better? You know, that's, you want to know what offends me? It's people's insecurity, man. It does. Like, all these people that have this, superiority complex to cover up their insecurity. I mean, it's like, dude, go talk to somebody. Go sit down and get professional help. The fact that you're taking to social media to try to claim ownership of Dolly Parton, man, we all have some ownership in Dolly Parton. And we're all better to have lived at the same time that she did. And that was one of the things, I can't remember who was shared yesterday, talking about how, you know, Dolly just didn't have enemies. And we talk about, you know, living your life in a way you make more friends than enemies. She did. And everybody felt a sense of kinship with Dolly Parton. Everybody. It doesn't matter your DNA. It doesn't matter your musical taste or your preferences. Everybody recognized Dolly Parton as an icon, and not just of music, but of humanity. I don't know her personally, neither do you, but her public persona is what we should all aspire to be. Someone that can appeal to everyone, that everyone felt welcomed at the table and in the life of Dolly Parton. And you never heard any scandals involving Dolly Parton. I mean, think about that for a second. There are so many musicians these days and actors and people like that. They want to use their platform for division. They think they're doing it for advocacy, but they're not. It promotes division. I mean, and you go back, you think about Michael Jordan, right? Michael Jordan was a guy, too, that kind of stayed out of the political arena just because of the fact He just didn't want to automatically have half the country hating him over a political comment. It's the same thing with Dolly Parton. I don't understand why everybody has to rush out there. You're accomplishing nothing. Nothing. Just because you put something in your bio and you go, you know, follow a hashtag or something, you're accomplishing nothing except stirring up division. And I think the lesson learned from all of this is that, you know, we should all strive to be like Dolly Parton. And, you know, sadly today, too, we lost Tim Curry, another incredible actor, you know, a guy that was very, very, very colorful in many respects. And listen, I know at times he could kind of be a polarizing figure. But, man, it's, you know, life is long, I hope. But, man, when we lose, you know, people like that. And, of course, I'm not trying to suggest that Tim Curry was on the same level of Dolly Parton. I'm not. But it's been a tough couple of days, man, for people that follow popular culture in America. And how cool was it? I seen the video shared tons of times. Famous Maroon Band shared it if you want to go see it. But the royal family had the Red Coat Band play 9 to 5 in tribute to Dolly Parton. I mean, think about that. And I read somebody else's commentary, and I wish I remembered who it was just so I could share it. Imagine being Dolly Parton, right? Growing up, broke as the Ten Commandments, you know, having to wear hand-me-down clothes, living a life basically impoverished, and then the royal family has their own band play a tribute to you and your life. Man, how incredible is that? Right? You talk about ascension and outgrowing your raising. Dolly Parton did it. And so if Dolly can do it, you can do it too. And maybe you're not as talented as her. I'm not trying to suggest you're going to be a worldwide phenomenon. But don't blame where you are in life on where you were born or how you were raised or what you had or didn't have. When you become an adult, it's all up to you. And so let's not talk about, well, there's a more steep ramp for certain people. Nonsense. Horse hockey. It's up to you. And Dolly Parton, we'll miss her. All right, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. We love them too. They're a local icon, and I love getting Bulldog Burger Company. Like every time that comes up as an option for me, I'm thrilled. Like somebody says, hey man, do you want to meet at Bulldog Burger Company? Well, matter of fact, yes, I do. Yes, I will go partake of the spring rolls. I will go put my feet under their table and just let them spoil me for a little while. Because sometimes you just need a little break. And you can take a great break when you go to Bulldog Burger Company and just let them handle everything. You order those spring rolls because they make you and everybody around you better looking. You find a great entree. Chances are you're going there for a burger. If you're a newbie, let me encourage you, get the Bulldog. Okay, you can't go wrong. It's a good straight-ahead rock and roll American hamburger, right? But if you want to get a little more adventurous, you certainly can. I'm still hung up on the smash burgers. To be honest with you, I really can't get enough of them. I really can't get enough of them. Every time that we go, she goes, hey, do you want to? No, give me the smash burger. It's working for me, right? When it works for me, I just kind of ride it on out, right? It's true. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. On your way out the door, be sure and get that chocolate shake to go so you can ride that ride home with a smile. And if you're like me, like I always need a palate cleanser. I don't know what it is about me, but every time that I go somewhere, if they don't have a dessert there that I want, I'll just stop and get something on the way home. You know, sometimes maybe it's a Snickers. You know, sometimes it's a Butterfinger. But you know, if you're thinking about that, like if you want that maybe post-digestive dessert, think about that Biscoff cheesecake. It is absolutely outstanding. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. All right. So yesterday, Jerron Manning and Malik Sela filed a joint lawsuit in Oktibbeha County Chancery Court. And in the middle of all of this yesterday, once word got around that the suit had been filed, of course, I reach out to my legal team and say, hey, I'd like to peruse this lawsuit. And dude, just like 460 something pages, right? And so I said, well, I'll have that. I needed one more article to write that day. And I said, I'll just wait and I'll get the lawsuit and we'll write that up. Well, in the middle of all of that, Southeastern Conference released their prohibition on pro players on SEC rosters. Now, I know that the initial statement specifically spoke about men's, women's basketball and football. But guys, this is going to be a blanket policy that applies to all sports. Okay, I mean, that's how you run into discriminatory issues, right? When you limit some sports and not others. So it's going to be a blanket policy. Now, of course, the Big Ten kind of beat us to the punch. And I think in many respects, that kind of opened up the door, right, for us to be a little more. And maybe it's a competitive thing, too, with the Big Ten. Well, let's get ahead of the SEC. I think it makes it easier. Of course, the Big 12 yesterday in a straw vote, it appears they're unanimous to follow suit. The ACC is supposed to begin meeting today, I believe it is. So it appears the Power Four conferences are all going to have a prohibition on any pro player. Now, it's absurd that we're even talking about this, right? Because throughout our lifetimes, and I know things change, but one thing that we've always kind of held true is that if you go pro, you're done in college. Right, you remember there used to be years ago, you know, before things changed, if you had contact with an agent, you were then ineligible. But people forget that. I mean, nowadays, like every high school baseball player has an advisor. It's an agent. You call it what you want, but it's an agent. And now in the NIL era, every player on the Division I level and some beyond have agents. And some of those are licensed and some aren't. But everybody these days is getting representation. They're getting advisement on how to handle their compensation. And so it's important to kind of understand that aspect of it. But when you sign a pro contract, it has universally been accepted that your career as an amateur athlete, and yes, I understand they're being paid today. I don't need someone to argue the distinction with me. But the NCAA has had a prohibition basically throughout its modern era that you sign a pro contract, you're finished, at least in that sport, because you have guys used to that would play football and baseball. They'd sign a pro contract in baseball and then continue to play football. It happens. A.J. Brown did it for a while. And so anyway, I bring that up because, you know, this really all goes back to the Bediako case in Alabama. And I don't understand why Alabama wasn't sanctioned, to be honest with you. You know, the rule of restitution that we wrote about earlier this week basically says, and again, it was enacted in the 70s about 50 years ago, but it still applies today, that in the event that you get a TRO to play a player that the NCAA has deemed ineligible, and then they ultimately went on the merits, then, well, guess what? You're sanctioned. And Bediako played in 5 games, and of course, once the preliminary injunction was not granted, you know, the TRO was, but then they, of course, you know, later a state court judge in Alabama said, no, this is improper, right? Well, this is kind of the poison root in which all of these trees are tying into. And they're trying to say, well, had they not known that they weren't going to have a fifth year available to them, they wouldn't have signed a pro contract. Now, I don't know how true that is. I guess every circumstance is a little bit different. But that understood, as I have illustrated and articulated on this show many times, all of those players that began their college careers in 22-23, that academic and athletic year, when they completed their senior seasons last year, those of them that didn't redshirt, they had no expectation of a fifth year of eligibility. Sure, they wanted one, and it's good work if you can get it, but they were not expected to get one. So now we're trying to argue, I think somewhat frivolously, that they have been aggrieved. Now, at the end of the day, I think there can be a case made where you can argue, hey, you know what? Football is back, and thank goodness for that. My friends over at Prize Picks bringing out their best offer to date. New users who sign up will get $150 in lineups. That's if you win your first $5 lineup. It's pretty simple. If you win your first $5 lineup, you get $150 in lineups. And now, Prize Picks is available nationwide. So what you waiting for? Lock in for kickoff because everyone and everything is on Prize Picks. So what are you guys excited about this football season? I think the Steelers are going to be better than many people expect. I'm all over that aspect of it. I think that Steelers defense is going to kind of return to form. I think Pittsburgh's going to make a run at this thing in the AFC North. Maybe you see things a little bit differently, but you need to get in the game and get some skin in the game with me on Prize Picks. Now, Prize Picks is going crazy with the deals to start football season. They're just as excited as you and I are. They're giving you this new promo every day during a very stacked September. Make sure to sign up now for guaranteed picks every Sunday, along with profit boost and daily discounts throughout the entire month. Plus, the app is very simple to use, and it's very user-friendly. You just pick 2 to 6 players and then pick more or less on their projected stats like pass yards, rush yards, fantasy score. It's the best way to get more locked in on game day. You can make all the picks you want across any sport, all in the very same app. Download the app today and use code BONEYARD to get $150 instantly in lineups if you win your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. Run your game. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, if you could wake up tomorrow and just be better at one thing, what would it be? You know, maybe it's less doom scrolling. Maybe it's more time with your family. Maybe it's making more time for the things that bring enjoyment. You know, I'm a bit of a workaholic, to be quite honest with you. You know, I could schedule some time to do some things away from the office. And I think all of that helps me. I enjoy my work, but sometimes it's just simply good to get away. You know, better is a feeling, and it's really defined by you. And for BetterHelp, it's a BetterHelp therapist who really gets you. It's a focus on global emotional well-being with thousands of therapists and millions of members in over 100 countries. Well, it's progress. You know, and maybe it's getting better at making more time for yourself to do the things that you love. Sign up today and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. These guys kind of got screwed. These ladies, maybe they didn't get their same bite at the apple. I think that's a fair thing to say. Because you say, hey, well, everybody from COVID got that bonus year. Well, and the truth of the matter is, we needed them to play in 2020. For our own mental health, right? It wasn't just for them. It was for, you know, the nation, the world, right? We needed something to cheer for. And so because of those players, hey, if you want to opt out, we won't rule it against you. We won't hold it against you. But also, too, if you play, we want you to play. We need you to play because we need something to feel good about in life after what we're going through. We're not going to charge that year of eligibility against you. And so because of the unique circumstance, I think that is a flimsy precedent. I know it's being used as one, but the circumstances were unprecedented. And you had to go back to 1919 with the Spanish flu before we dealt with anything like that. And of course, back in those days, there were no college athletics televised. It's a completely different circumstance. And now you say, well, you got everybody else will have the fifth year of eligibility, provided that they're not aging out. That's something nobody talks about. You got to be a certain age in this 5 for 5. I'm sure that'll be litigated too. But yeah, so there's a sandwich class there that didn't get the benefit of the COVID year, which again, I just don't agree with. But they also don't get the benefit of the 5 for 5 eligibility model. Yes, they got exactly what they signed up for, but I think that one could make a case that, you know what, this should have been handled better. Both of those things could be true. You can say, you know what, hey, you got what you wanted, you got what you signed up for, but the NCAA could have handled this a lot better. And that's the thing, too, I think about. Like, and again, I don't remember the timeline on when the D1 advisory, you know, committee met on this particular topic, but the 5 for 5 has been in the wind for a while. And, you know, it may have helped this matter if someone from the NCAA on Charlie Baker's staff had reached out to Greg Sankey and some of the major leaders in college sports saying, hey, this is coming. Not exactly sure of the timeline, but you and I both know they're the ones that set those meetings. It's not like they just, you know, it happened organically. There was a meeting. And you could have said, hey, listen, this is going to be on the agenda for this meeting. We expect this to pass. So if you want to go ahead and start taking some corrective action, that'd be a good thing. Right? So again, yes, you could argue that these players in multiple sports maybe weren't treated fairly. That's fair to say. You can also argue is that, hey, they weren't entitled to a fifth year of eligibility. They knew that when they signed their financial aid agreements and scholarship paper. They knew that. They signed a contract, essentially, and there was no provision for a fifth year of eligibility. That's true. And then we can also argue that the NCAA should have handled it better. And again, I'm not one of these NCAA big bad wolf people. We need the NCAA to run well. We do. And it hadn't. I mean, the Mark Embert era was, that's why we are where we are. Mark Embert did a terrible job. But we need the governing body to do things the right way. And we also need to protect the governing body in some respects because it's made up of our schools. You know, we are a part of the NCAA. And so if the NCAA is run well, everybody benefits. And, you know, we're constantly having to be in a courtroom. So the SEC says, you know what, hey, we're not going to do the pro player thing. Not going to do it. So then the Big Ten, everybody does that. Well, then, you know, basically what's out there is we talked about this recently about the ghost transfer penalty, you know, how your coach could be suspended. And I'm typing this up because I want to make sure that I read this correctly. Just because, I mean, we do, there's no point in guessing. And so, as I pulled that up, they're similar, right? And it's interesting, you know, how it's all set up. But basically, if you play a player who signed with an NFL, NBA, G League, or NBA contract, or another pro league, and that's an important distinction as we get into Jerron Manning and Malik Sela. It's not just limited to the NFL. Any professional league. In the event that you appeared on a team's roster, and that, again, has a little of ambiguity to it, because you say, well, why would they be on a roster if they didn't sign a contract? Well, they're, you know, there's some leagues out there that will roster players while contracts are being negotiated. So the SEC has basically said if you're non-compliant, your head coach is going to be suspended for half your games. In addition to that, if you play a pro player, you're going to be fined 50% of that sport's annual operating budget. That has some teeth in it. I would suggest that's probably even more important than the head coach being suspended. You lose your right to vote on all league business matters. And then now we have basically given Greg Sankey pretty much unlimited authority to levy these punishments. We don't have to go through the NCAA. We don't have to go through all these hearings and things like that. If you do something that you were not supposed to do, Greg Sankey can hammer you. It kind of reminds me a little bit. For those of you that know the movie and kind of know the story, and if you don't know it, I encourage you, the movie 8 Men Out, do you remember this movie? And it was star-studded, man. It was such a great movie, and it really illustrated a very dark period in Major League Baseball in the Chicago White Sox, that 1919 team. I think that was 1908, or anyway, the year doesn't matter. It's been a while since I've watched it. But, you know, Shoeless Joe Jackson was on that team. But basically what they did is they threw the World Series. They did. Because they were receiving kickbacks from gamblers. And so before this even happened, when they decided, hey, we need to have a commissioner in baseball. Well, they went and they hired a commissioner and said, well, he'll have limited powers. And he goes, no, you got to have ultimate powers. It'll never work. And so they gave the commissioner of baseball essentially unfettered power to penalize teams that broke rules. And then he, you know, he banned the White Sox. Absolutely hammered them. And so that's what this is somewhat reminiscent of to me, is that now that Greg Sankey basically has the university presidents and athletic directors saying, you know what, hey, here's the deal. You govern this as you see fit. And it's interesting, too. A lot of people wonder, would there be a situation like where if LSU tries to, like, bully this thing? And LSU is not the only one that's guilty. They're just the one that's made the headlines because Lane Kiffin is such a polarizing figure. There are multiple teams in the Southeastern Conference that have done something similar or have lined up players. I had someone tell me just yesterday that another team from the former SEC Western Division already had multiple pro players who had basically flamed out in training camp and got cut, ready to join their roster if that was going to be permissible. But they were reluctant to put that information out there because they didn't want the headlines and they didn't want a distraction to their team, because they knew this meeting was about to happen in Hoover. So it's not just an LSU issue. They're just the poster child for it because of the fact that Lane Kiffin can't stop talking about it. And, of course, that, let's be honest about that, too. They have been the most egregious offender, right? But, again, I still go back to this whole Betty Aka thing with Alabama. As absurd as that was, Alabama wasn't punished. I got a problem with that, and I think most people do. And if Alabama had been punished, you wouldn't even have a discussion about LSU and Lane Kiffin, because we've allowed it. Now, I don't know all the legal parameters and the bylaws around that particular Betty Aka situation, and I love Greg Byrne to death. But Greg and Nate Oates knew that was improper. They pushed the envelope, and they got Betty Aka for 5 games. They should have been sanctioned. Absolutely should have been sanctioned. And as a matter of fact, you had Greg Sankey fill out a sworn affidavit that he sent to the court that said, please enforce the eligibility rules of the NCAA. He did the same thing on this LSU TRO thing in East Baton Rouge Parish. So how this all kind of gets back around now, how does it affect Mississippi State, Steve? Well, here's how. Jerron Manning went to minicamp with the Atlanta Falcons. Now, to what I understand is that he did not sign any paperwork as far as a contract with the Falcons. When they attend these mini camps, which are basically tryouts, they just basically sign a waiver. You just sign a waiver kind of freeing the Falcons, like if you get hurt. But there's no contractual obligation. There is no financial benefit to any of that. If you make the team, then you've signed an undrafted free agent contract. I'm told that's not what happened with Jerron Manning. But 2 weeks after the minicamp with the Falcons, he signed with the Orlando Pirates of the IFL. So that goes back to this whole thing of other professional leagues. Didn't sign an NFL deal, wasn't part of that 90-man roster, right? But signed with an IFL team. That's a pro contract. Malik Sela, and I discovered this yesterday, I was under the impression that Sela was more likely to be able to join the team because there were no professional entanglements. I find out yesterday that's incorrect. Back in May, he signed a deal with the Montreal Alouettes of the Canadian Football League and then went through preseason camp with them and made it up to the final round of cuts and got cut. And so guess what? That's a pro contract. And so now when you look at this lawsuit, and again, I don't know what legal remedies or avenues that Sela and Manning's attorneys have available. Now, what I would surmise from my own research and talking to my own lawyers is they could probably get the injunction to be able to play in the NCAA somewhere. But based on the SEC policy that was rolled down yesterday, it won't be at Mississippi State, and it won't be in the SEC. And it appears it won't be anywhere in the Power Four. And so in the event that they are, you know, and again, one of the best things that could ever happen is, like, let's just say the Sun Belt says, hey, you know what, we'll take all those guys. We'll take them. You know, those teams may actually have roster space. But, you know, we're getting ready to play football here in 10 days. And so that would be an easy solution. So essentially, unless we hear otherwise or something changes today, it appears that Jerron Manning and Malik Sela situation is winding down as it relates to Mississippi State. And, you know, I kept hearing, you know, hey, once this Tenth Circuit Court stay was executed that, hey, the Manning and Sealer are going to file, because that was the caveat to the ruling, right, is that this applies as a blanket statement across everybody unless you had sought remedy in state courts. And so we knew then, once they had that exclusion, that everybody that wanted to play would go out and hire a lawyer and file for relief in state court, which is what they should have done, because that's what the courts framed up. And of course, the NCAA came out and said, hey, we're going to fight every one of these in court. We're going to weaponize the language from that stay that we would have prevailed on the merits, and we're going to go get these things stopped. And so, again, I don't know your feelings about this fifth-year eligibility thing. Selfishly, I want Jerron Manning and Malik Siegel to play because I want Mississippi State to win football games. Now, the flip side of it is we constructed a roster never expecting to have them. And so if you get them, it would have been a bonus. But now it appears, and again, I'm no lawyer. I have some good ones. But it appears the lawsuit filed in Octavaha County Chancery Court yesterday on the behalf of Jerron Manning and Malik Sela is pretty much dead on arrival as far as them playing at Mississippi State. That's how it appears. Now, again, there may be some other legal maneuvering that can take place, but the issue at play now is not that Tenth Circuit appeal. What's at issue now is the Southeastern Conference. And you have the right of private association. That's a legal term when you're a conference. And you say, well, Steve, well, how do you get outside of the antitrust? Well, it's a little different. You know, the conferences have the right to establish their own rules. They work within the framework of the NCAA. However, they don't run the NCAA. So your antitrust claims have to go against the NCAA. And it's so interesting, too. You know, you read, I'm learning a lot about these sports lawyers, too. And again, some of them are more intelligent than me. I'm not in any way suggesting that I know more about the law than they do. I don't. But it's so interesting to me what a bad day they had yesterday. It's like they never saw this coming. Now, we were told on Monday this was going to happen. Period. SEC is going to place a prohibition on pro players. Not going to happen. We were told that on Monday. In advance, and the meeting started on Tuesday. If you were a member of jeanspage.com, in that thread we talked about it on Monday, and I said the SEC is going to ban this. That's not in any way praising me. It's just my point is, if I had access to that information, shouldn't they have had access to that information? Right? Not to mention, you're an officer of the court that is part of an ongoing lawsuit. So why would you not consider that aspect of it? And one of the things that I have continued to point out to people, and I'll tell you who I give credit for this line of thinking, is Jim Carmody. Do you guys remember Coach? He was our DC for a while. Of course, had a great run at Southern Miss. We had a player years ago. I'm not going to name the player. We had a player years ago that got kicked off the football team. And he went to Dr. Zacharias' office and got reinstated. And Coach Carmody said, you know what? Maybe Dr. Zacharias can get you back on the team, but he can't get you on the field. And I began to think about that yesterday. As you know, you may have these schools that may have to admit students and allow them to be on the football team because of a court order. You may have that, but you can't get an injunction for playing time. You can't force Dr. Mark Keenum to put those guys on the field. You can't force Zach Selman to instruct Jeff Lebby to put those players on the field. And this is in no way being critical of Jerron Manning or Malik Sealy. They're just kind of operating under the hope that this is all going to work out. Right? Love those guys, both of them. Very appreciative of what they've done. But when you look at this thing globally, really from, you know, these lawyers' perspective, is, you know, any of them have this, you know, NCAA, everything NCAA is wrong, you know, opinion. And I don't agree with that. But some of these people are my friends, and others are just acquaintances, and others I have no relationship with whatsoever. But no matter what they may tell people, they can't get them on that field. They can't get them on the basketball court. Ultimately, that's up to a coach who answers to an AD, who answers to a university president, who is part of a conference that has now placed a prohibition on certain things. And what I wonder is, what is it we're not being told? What other discussion happened about other players, maybe in relation to these lawsuits? Have we taken some other steps and put in some other provisions that we hadn't made public? And maybe we don't want to put them out there publicly because we don't want to end up in another courtroom. But also, too, maybe there are some things that aren't for public consumption that may also be of the public interest. And so I share that as my dog yelps in her sleep. I don't think we know everything. I don't. That's my feeling today. We don't know everything that has been decided. Of course, it's day two now of these meetings in Birmingham as they begin to talk more about self-governance. That's not about breaking away. It's to give the protections for the league's goals. And as someone shared with me yesterday, because, you know, Steve, we went to the NCAA and said, guys, you got to fix this. And they haven't been able to. And some of that's because they've been playing defense in court. Guys, we went to the federal government and say, hey, can you help us fix this? And we haven't been able to. We still got the same problems. We have gone to our governing body and asked for relief, and it has been unsatisfied. We have gone to the federal government and asked for assistance. It has been unsatisfied. We have to take ownership. And that's the thing. Like, when that statement came out, I was like, okay, you guys put a tweet out, great. But let's see some action behind this. Anybody can make a statement. Everybody's got an X account or a Facebook account. Anybody can go put something on the internet. Doesn't mean anything without action. You got to make some meaningful changes. And so now the Southeastern Conference, again, is just kind of taking ownership of their own situation and saying, hey, here's what we're going to do. And, you know, we've got situations that are federal precedents with the United States Supreme Court that we can conduct ourselves within the framework of our league with rules that apply specifically to us. And some of that's going to be about this out of control spending. And I have talked to people, I have friends, of course, that are at multiple universities around this great conference of ours, and everybody will tell you, Steve, we have got to get a handle on the unbridled spending. We have to get a handle on this. And it's not just the rev share stuff. You know, one of the things, the loophole that everybody in the SEC, I say everybody, most everybody in the SEC wants to eliminate is this gray area compensation for players, where it's basically a circumvention of the cap. It's not true third-party NIL deals. It's not rev share through the house settlement. It's still basically a slush fund. And people are like, well, you know, it's legal. And you know what? People would be a fool not to exploit that loophole until it's closed. It's the same thing like when, you know, when Vandy was doing the need aid baseball stuff, right? They could afford to do it. Need-based aid was a thing they could do. And there were a lot of schools that do it, and eventually they had to abandon it because they couldn't afford to do it. Vandy could. They ended up being NAFL champions because of it. And you know what? They would have been a fool not to do it. It's like, hey, we've got this big $2 billion endowment. We can afford to do this. We can pay these five need-based aid scholarships every single year. And so we can go get some great players that maybe would sign a pro contract because their family needs the money. And you know what? We can get them up here and take care of them, put them in a better situation. You think Vandy ever thought, Tim Corbin said, the folks at OSU and Mississippi State can't afford to do this, so maybe we shouldn't do it either. Of course not. And so when you've got this gray area when it comes to player compensation that is outside of rev share, that is outside of legitimate third-party NIL deals, you'd be a fool not to use it as long as they allowed it. And that's what's being kind of pushed forward now, more of a solid cap that also has framework for legitimate third-party NIL deals. But, of course, those have to go through the College Sports Council's NIL GoPro. And that's what everybody agreed upon in the House settlement. But again, because of the fact this particular issue wasn't addressed, people are exploiting it. And, you know, the rules only apply to the rule abiding. But until there's a rule on this, everybody involved would be a fool not to use it. So that's something that you can watch as things move forward. And I'm told that on Thursday, that the lead counsel of all 16 SEC teams, programs, schools, will be in Hoover to begin working through the language and the framework of what the presidents and ADs kind of discussed on Tuesday and Wednesday about, hey, this is what we want to implement. Now let's go put the legalese together to see if we can implement this and protect ourselves from future lawsuits, and also too give ourselves a chance to have some viability where everybody's not so cash poor at times. And that, again, the spending is out of control, absolutely out of control. And I think it's worse than you guys realize. Everybody thinks, well, they get this huge, TV deal from ESPN, and they get this and they get that and all these donations. Guys, first thing I'll tell you, the money in the ESPN deal is already accounted for. It's already in our general operating budget. It's not a bonus. People think, oh, well, they're going to split this money and they're going to get, $75, $80 million a piece or whatever. Well, that money's already spent. It's already spent. We depend on that money to run the athletic department, to fund the football team, to do the re-siding of Duty Noble Field. That money is already accounted for. It's not like all of a sudden we've just got this surplus of money, tens of millions of dollars just laying around. That's just not how it works. And then these donations, many of them are commitments over time. Sometimes somebody will write us a check for $1 million. Other times it's kind of like the Crystal Society, right? You can join the Crystal Society and be a bronze level, $25,000, right? $5,000 a year over 5 years. And so you may see that, hey, this person's a $25,000 giver. It doesn't mean they've given us $25,000 yet. They've committed to do that. And so that money's helpful, but we don't have it all in hand yet. That's important to understand. Guys, I'm telling you, as crazy as things are, I think most people have no idea how cash-strapped a lot of schools are. And you say, Steve, it doesn't make any sense. Well, that's the truth. And so if we don't get a handle on this unbridled spending, eventually you're going to see sports cut. Now, we're at the bare minimum, so we can't cut any. But around the conference and around the country, you're going to see more and more sports. You saw it with Arkansas tennis last year, and then people stepped up and paid for it. And they shouldn't have to. We should put these universities in a situation where they can fully fund their own sports without private donations, rather than funneling everything we possibly can into one or two sports. And there has to be a situation where we can have a general ledger for running an athletic department that is healthy. And that's important for everybody to understand. It's not there right now, but hopefully it can be. All right, it's time for today's Top 10 List. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler, my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. And since we're all friends, you deserve to have his phone number. It's 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Let me tell you why you need that number. You never know when life's going to throw you a curveball. Maybe it's a job change, a relationship change, a familial change, and you got to find a new residence. Yeah. Get off the hamster wheel of renting and paying somebody else's mortgage and build some generational wealth for yourself and your family. Put some money in a house. Plant some roots somewhere. Maybe you've had the dream of home ownership before and it's been crushed because you had the wrong loan originator. Blair knows how to construct loans to give you the best chance for approval. 25 years of experience. He knows the ins and outs of underwriting. And if you're not ready, he can help put you on a pathway to get ready to buy a home. That's an important thing too. And to get that pre-qualification letter too, you want to see your real estate agent jump into orbit. Yeah, let them know you got your financing already approved. Blair can help you with that, walk you through every step of it. Blair is a bulldog through and through, got a place here in town, season ticket holder, multiple sports, but you don't have to be a bulldog to do business with Blair. He is an equal opportunity lender. So whether it's your first home, your next home, your retirement home, or perhaps that game day condo, Blair Chandler, the only name to know. So Point City Dog on Twitter has been after me for a while and sent me a reminder this morning that we hadn't done his list yet. And I said, you know what, we need to do this. And I even roped the bride in a little bit, too, to make sure that I wasn't missing some things. I'm confident that I have, though. So this is a pretty big list here. It's going to be a top 100. No, it's not a top 100. But it's songs that make you think of movies. Now, some of these are part of the official motion picture soundtrack, but I tried to avoid that as best I could. So, like, there's no Footloose on here, right? Even though it's a great song. And really, any song from that soundtrack, when you hear it, it takes you back to watching Footloose, right? Like, I'm Free, you know, Heaven Helps the Man, and Let's Hear It for the Boy. You know, there's a lot of things. When I hear Bang Your Head from Quiet Riot, I think of Footloose. Just because of the fact that Ren McCormick, of course, was listening to Quiet Riot when they stopped him. Yeah, hey, you ain't too smart, are you, boy? You know that they take the Quiet Riot cassette away from him. It was craziness, man. But what's so crazy, what you guys don't understand, you young bucks of the day, is that there was a lot of that sentiment in Footloose. I mean, it wasn't just fantastical stuff. There were a lot of people in the religious right, that's how they felt. They used to have young people get together and burn albums together. And we're going to burn this stuff because it's satanic. You know, somehow we all lived. Somehow. But nevertheless, just to kind of give you the premise. Now, some of these songs towards the back end of our list are going to be songs that I think kind of stand alone on their own while they make me think of movies. Not always. As we get a little closer to the list, there are some songs that absolutely call up a recollection of a major motion picture. So number 10 is going to be Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. Now, I knew Bo Rap before because I was a Queen fan long before Garth Allgaier and Wayne came along with Wayne's World. But the Wayne's World movie was incredible. And what's interesting, too, one of the reasons that movie means so much to me is, your boy had to face consequences for his riotous living during the throes of addiction. And so we're getting ready to go to the RID program. And, like, you had to call in and it's going to be another week. And the release of Wayne's World was coming up. And I was thinking, man, if they gave us one more week, we can see Wayne's World in the theaters. Well, I had to report to the RID program the week that Wayne's World came out. So I didn't get to see it. So when I met the lovely bride, one of the first things I wanted to do was, we had Blockbuster nights. And remember how much fun that was? I mean, honest to goodness. I mean, it's great that we can Netflix. There's so much available to us these days on our digital platforms. But it was a lot of fun going to Blockbuster, buying that popcorn, and walking up and down there to see the new releases. And, a lot of times there'd be a movie you want to see, and it'd be out for the day. So you get something out, and you say, hey, I know what I'm going to get next time I go. But Wayne's World was the first movie that we watched together, and I couldn't wait to see it. Couldn't wait. And then, of course, there's that, incredible scene with them headbanging the Bohemian Rhapsody in the Pacer. It's great. And it turned a whole new generation of fans onto Queen and Bo Rap. And again, of course, the movie Bohemian Rhapsody comes out. So it's all very, cyclical with Queen, but they have stood the test of time as a legacy act, even though Freddie's been gone a long time. But the fact that we're still talking about this, and there are so many moments, like these people have these, I guess they used to call them like pop-up raves and stuff. But like, people are walking along, and then all of a sudden the whole world breaks into singing Bohemian Rhapsody. It says a lot about Queen. Number 9. Now, the movie was good, but the song itself, I loved the song. Even though it was written for the movie, to me, it's a standalone. And some of it's because, like in recent years, you've had people on America's Got Talent or, whatever, they would perform these renditions of the Goo Goo Dolls song, Iris. And when Audrey was born, my oldest daughter, Audrey, we had MTV on in the delivery room. And when she was birthed into this world, the song Iris was playing. So it's always been her song to me. And City of Angels was good, but it wasn't great. It wasn't great. I didn't like the way it ended. To me, it was kind of a sad ending. And I think a lot of people felt that way. This beautiful movie ends so tragically. But Iris, Makes me think of that movie. Number eight, even though that it was written for the movie, I think we had to include it, but it's one of the reasons it's a little bit lower. When I just uttered the phrase, "You've got a friend in me," you know exactly what movie we're talking about. Of course, Randy Newman wrote the song, and Randy had some hits earlier in his career with, like, you know, "Short People Have No Reason to Live." You know, it's a tongue-in-cheek track. Don't take it literally, you short guys out there. But "You've Got a Friend in Me," again, immediately you think about Woody and Buzz and all the toys. And that's one thing I'm so excited about. You know, when we had Ani, like, the thing that I learned by being a young father is I really just needed somebody to play with, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like I needed a buddy again, right? I needed somebody that I could play video games with and get out and throw the ball with. You know, it's, those things are important to me. And that's the thing, too. Like, Ani is so good with his girls, and they love him so much. And it makes me so happy to see what a great father he's become. But I love the fact that he's getting a chance to, like, relive all the Toy Story stuff, right? And I told him when Warren was born, Wawa we call him, I said, "Dude, you don't understand. Your new best friend was born." And that's so important, right? There's just a relationship between the same-sex parent that is so incredibly crucial. And but yeah, so they sent us a video. I guess they went and saw Toy Story 4 at the movie theater with all the kids, and they sent us a picture of, like, the just amazement of the kids' faces as they watched that movie. And so that stuff is so incredibly important. Number seven, kind of sticking with that sort of thing, we could have gone Hakuna Matata here, but we didn't. We went with "Can You Feel the Love Tonight" from Elton John. And again, there's a few of those, you know, songs from those Disney movies that immediately, you know, you kind of harken back to, because it's one of those things. It's like, well, this is where I first learned of it. And I'll tell you this, one of my favorite things to do at Disney is the Festival of the Lion King. I love it, man. I have seen it so many times, but we have to make time to go. I love it so much. It's so incredibly well done. And The Lion King was an incredible movie. There's a lot of good lessons in Lion King, for sure. Number six, The Bride mentioned this one, and I would have missed it, and it would have been a travesty. And I've learned a little something about this song today that maybe I didn't know before. I don't remember hearing this, and I think it's important for you guys too. So, Simple Minds, "Don't You Forget About Me." Of course, that's played during the closing credits of The Breakfast Club. And that's one of the things, too, like, as my kids began to get older, we began to introduce them into some of the 80s classics. And all of my children love The Breakfast Club. And they should. It's a great movie, right? It's very relatable for a lot of people, too. What you don't know is the Simple Minds almost turned the song down. Well, they turned it down initially and then kind of circled back to it. Do you know who they were pushing this song on? And to me, it may even work. It may not work as well. Did you know Billy Idol? Billy Idol was pitched this song. Turned it down. And what would that have meant for Simple Minds? Because "Don't You Forget About Me" went to number one. So they were just kind of an under-the-radar act, and they're basically handed a number one track, and they nearly fumbled it. But a great addition by The Bride. Number five, you knew Kenny Loggins had to be on here at some point. And speaking of The Bride, she just texted me wanting to know what movie Iris was part of. See, that's again, that's why it's number nine, because you love the song more than the movie. But Kenny Loggins had to make it. Kenny kind of built a career. You know, of course, Kenny was part of the Caddyshack soundtrack and Footloose, of course, and Over the Top. Do you remember that great Sylvester Stallone movie with "Meet Me Halfway"? What a great song. But Kenny Loggins, I think, really hit his groove with "Danger Zone" with Top Gun. I love that song, man. I do. I love it. Love it. And I can still put it on and enjoy it today. Number four, this was already on my list. And The Bride mentioned, you got to include this one. It's "Eye of the Tiger" from Survivor. And I recently watched an interview with a guitar player from Survivor when they fired their original singer and hired Jim Jameson from Mississippi, that it was a no-brainer. He was like, dude, we had so many problems in the band, and we were somewhat limited, and Survivor's Vital Signs, that whole album, every song sounds like a single. The production value is incredible. But Eye of the Tiger, that's a song too that you don't just think about Rocky III, you think about Rocky and you think about so many other things. It's just a song of inspiration and empowerment. That was number four. Number three, and it's a cover. And I've got my own feelings about covers, but and I love the covers, but we don't always include them in our list because they're covers. But this one is kind of stands alone. And maybe it's because of Dolly Yesterday. Whitney Houston's version of I Will Always Love You from The Bodyguard with Kevin Costner. I'm going to be honest with you, I've never seen the movie. I never have. I've never seen the movie. I'm not really a rom-com guy. It's not my thing. I like some of them, but, But Whitney Houston took an incredible song and made it even better. And then I read something yesterday. I haven't verified it. That the royalties off that song from Whitney Houston's version, Dolly Parton used it and invested it in an African-American community, right? As if it couldn't get better, right? She renovated a shopping center and, it's incredible. And she called it the house that Whitney built. Incredible stuff. And again, I don't know 100% that's true, but I want to believe it's true. And again, the fact that we've lost them both now, right? Oh, man. But I don't know if there's many covers of pop songs better than Whitney Houston's rendition of I'll Always Love You. Incredible. Number two, and there's a reason this is two. It's not a cover. But the song itself, and we've talked about this on the show before, it's one of the best love songs of my generation. And it's recorded by Mr. Bryan Adams. And it was probably the greatest promotion that the Robin Hood movie could have ever possibly had. It's this incredible love song, was part of the soundtrack, and of course they had part of the movie in the video itself, and it was played on MTV probably 50 times a day. And so everybody's like, dude, I gotta go see this movie. But it's Everything I Do. I do it for you. And it is, search your heart, search your soul, and when you find me, you'll search no more. I mean, it's poetry, man. But as soon as you hear those opening bars, it just does something to you. There's just something about that song. There's an authenticity with the emotion in that song that we've all experienced. It's a very common experience. When you meet somebody and you truly love them and they love you back, it becomes so incredibly selfless, pardon me. I got that one backwards. But, it's like, people have asked me before, these little get-togethers and whatever, people always say, would you die for your spouse? Guys, I wouldn't have to think about it. I wouldn't have to even consider the possibility. If it came down to it, I would do it. If she needed a heart, she could take mine. Mine's been broken a bunch, but she could take it. And I would not even have to think about it. That's me. Number one. And I think you kind of know where this thing is going. Yeah, it's the Pet Shop. No, it's not the Pet Shop Boys, Smarty Pants. It's Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On. And it got overplayed. It did. But it is a song that is synonymous with an epic movie that all of us saw. And I remember when Dana and I couldn't wait to go see it. And we brought Ani with us. And he was little bitty. I mean, he may have been three or four. I guess he had to be three because we didn't have Audrey with us. But he went. And he was so dadgum smart, even at a young age. And we sit there to this three-hour movie, and he doesn't say anything. And we think he's, nodding off, not paying attention. He was never disruptive. And we get to the end of it, and he says, "Why didn't Jack get on the door?" Right? And you think he sat there this whole and absorbed it and then had some critical thinking. It's just crazy to think about. But to me, when I hear that song, that's exactly what I go back to, is the movie. And so thanks to Point City Dog for the suggestion. I know many of you will say, Steve, you blew it not doing Dolly today. Well, I wanted to get Point City Dog taken care of. And we're going to do something with Dolly on Friday. right? We're going to give you guys a couple days to mourn, and then we're going to celebrate the incredible music of the incomparable Dolly Parton. And that'll be your Friday list, so go ahead and kind of prepare for that. But if you have other ideas for the top 10 list, reach out and let us know. And speaking of reaching out, I've had five people that have reached out about the Tesla Bust a Nut album, saying, Steve, how did I miss this? Well, I'll tell you how you missed it, because you had small kids and you weren't buying records. And then, of course, MTV wasn't playing the music on MTV. They're playing what they wanted you to see and not what you wanted to see. Which is why they're pretty much gone these days. But that's how you missed it. But it's so funny. It's like somebody brought up that I didn't put Games People Play on the list. Well, of course, it's a cover. And Tesla's done a bunch of covers. People are like, dude, this is better than the original. And you're right, it is. It is better than the original. It's a great album, and I appreciate your feedback and your appreciation for Tesla, man. What a great, great band. And I hope that maybe you knew Tesla from those first few albums, right? And maybe life kind of pushed you away from buying music for a while. I'm a big proponent is that the first sign of getting old is you stop buying new music. That's my feeling. You know, that's what I think. And so maybe you go back and you discover this album or rediscover it for the first time, and you're like, dude, I cannot believe this has been missing from the soundtrack of my life. So, thanks for the feedback there. But, hit us up on social media. You can find Roy, the keeper of the list, at Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. You can find our great list on Spotify under that same handle. And I'm on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, we love Campus Bookmart. In fact, I bought some more merchandise from Campus Bookmart just yesterday. It's true. It'll be arriving in Northwest Arkansas on Friday, as my grandchildren will get another Bulldog care package. And I love being able to do that. I love having grandchildren. I do. I love it. I love it. I love buying my kids stuff. I love buying my grandkids stuff even more. That's one of the joys of living, man, is being able to give. And, it's not a holiday, but you know what? Football season's coming up, and I don't want my grandchildren in Razorback land not wearing maroon, right? That's my feeling, right? And so, you know, we're working on the indoctrination, right, of those children. Of course, my son Ani's a huge Bulldog fan too, so that helps. But anyway, we got the promo code fixed when they changed the operating system here some time ago. They didn't put BSR back in as a promo code. I used it yesterday, and I got free shipping because my order was over $75, and chances are yours will be as well. So maybe it's time for you to buy your kids or grandkids something and just surprise them with it, because football season will be here soon. They're growing boys and girls. They could use some fresh maroon that fits. And Miss Kathy Brown does such a great job. And one of the things that I got, man, is got a little toddler dress for my middle grandchild. And she's a dress girl. She is. And so as soon as I saw it, I said, it looks exactly like her. And so showed the bride what I procured last night. She approved. And it's a good thing because the order was already final. But I got good taste. And I suspect you do too. So buy the people you love something great. And if you're looking for Mississippi State merch, you certainly should be. You can find it at Campus Bookmart. You can buy yourself something too. You work hard. You put up with a lot of nonsense. It's okay to reward yourself every now and again. Life is not just about paying bills and paying the mortgage, right? There's more to it than that. Just raising kids and paying the mortgage. That's the bare necessities in life. You need to celebrate a little bit and reward yourself for your hard work. And at times for all of your patience, for all the nonsense you got to put up with. Stop by and see them the next time you're in Starkville, or visit them today on the World Wide Web, courtesy of Al Gore's Internet. And again, use promo code BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. Okay. In all of the fallout of yesterday's activity, Mississippi State picked up a new 2026 football player. And so, as Jeff Labby said, we had room in the 105 for Manning and Sela, but now it looks like that's not going to happen. But here's the thing. You know, Colin Coates gets injured. He's out for the year. Injured players don't count against your 105. And then we had Mario Nash Jr. elect to leave the program. So we had roster spots available. So, and you never know what else could happen. Adding somebody this late, you don't expect an immediate contribution, but it's a little more complicated with Kelly than you may think. So Eddie Kelly Jr. prepped at West Orange High School out in Orlando, Florida. He signed with the hometown Bulls of South Florida and played as a true freshman back in 2022. Had 19 tackles that year and played in the rotation. Well, he elected to transfer the next year, went to Georgia Tech, and had the best year of his college career to date. And played, I think, 11, 12 games and had a handful of starts. He had a career-high 37 tackles, knocked down a couple of passes too. Then he transferred again to Missouri. He had 20 tackle season there for the Tigers, and then spent last year with West Virginia, where he had 26 tackles. And it's so interesting. ESPN has multiple numbers here. I think I may have put the wrong number in the article, but nevertheless, I digress. But he's had 102 total collegiate tackles, 8 batted passes, and a couple of sacks. So I shared that with you, and now I see where the issue is. ESPN made a mistake, which in turn led to me making a mistake. But all that I understood, the situation with Eddie, who is 6'5", 290 pounds, it's kind of a can't-lose proposition for Mississippi State. So Eddie is part of, and I've spoken to him. You can read that interview for free over at Gene's page. Again, you don't need a password, or we don't need your email address to read for free. We don't. But Eddie was part of that 22-23 class. You guys are familiar with that. Just like Jerron Manning and Malik Sela. However, Eddie didn't sign a pro deal with anybody. He hired an attorney shortly after the 5-for-5 model was introduced and went to court to get granted his fifth year of eligibility. Now, he was granted a temporary restraining order, and the language in the order is a little confusing. You know, it says it gave him the right to go in the portal, but it doesn't specifically say it gave him the fifth year, but I guess it's kind of understood. Eddie and his legal team share, hey, no, he's eligible and ready to go. The issue with that is because he's part of that protected class, the 10th Circuit appeal took away that eligibility for everybody that didn't have a TRO in place. Now, Eddie is going to have the preliminary injunction hearing on September the 8th. So do not expect him to play against Louisiana Monroe. He hadn't been through a single practice with us. He hadn't attended a meeting. In fact, when I spoke to him, he was on his way to Starkville. So in the event that all this works out, and I'm not sure that's going to, but I'm just kind of bringing you guys up to speed. We could play that first game, and I suspect we won't play him. Number one, he's not ready, but number two, you don't want to run the risk of playing him under a TRO, and then all of a sudden he loses case, and then we've played an eligible player. So before we go to Minnesota, he will have that preliminary injunction hearing, and we'll have some clarity then. Along that same lines, around the same time, the 10th Circuit is going to receive briefs and arguments on the appeal of Charlotte Sweeney's ruling that kind of created this circus we already have. Like what we have come to know over the course of the last month. And what's so interesting, too, that Charlotte Sweeney ruling, you know, really, there wasn't even a hearing. There were no arguments. She just kind of ruled on the briefs, and now here we are. And it opened a Pandora's box. So at this point, I would not expect Eddie Kelly to play anytime soon for two reasons. Number one, he's not ready. But number two, because the legal system itself has to kind of play its way out. And so we'll see how things progress. And let's not forget, you know, when the 10th Circuit issued the stay of the lower court's ruling, they said in their ruling that they believe that the appellee, to get my legalese correct, would likely win on the merits of the case. So until that matter is resolved, we can't play him, period, because there could be retribution. The NCAA has come out and said, hey, if you practiced or allow players to compete under the previous injunction, you're good, but don't play it moving forward. They didn't say that, but it was certainly implied. The SEC, of course, has sent out memorandums of their own saying, hey, we're going to abide by these rulings, so the eligibility model is still intact. So if State takes him and he never plays, we're not really out anything. If State takes him and the legal system finds that it is permissible for him to play, then we get a bonus. We get another player that we can use as a depth piece on the defensive line. But we're not going to risk consequence for the football program, the athletic department, or university until things are completely dialed up and dressed up the way they should be. So we've added him to the class. We've interviewed him. And, again, he's working through the admissions process right now. To get admitted to school and begin classes here at Mississippi State, start taking part in football functions. Of course, there's an acclimation period for him. You know, he's got to kind of get up to speed on what we expect him to do defensively. But, again, this is a guy that has been a rotational guy throughout his career. And, again, they had that great year at Georgia Tech. But since that time, he has been just kind of a part-time starter. So with Colin Coates being injured for the year, he essentially takes that spot in the defensive line room. I don't know how much Colin Coates is going to play this year anyway. So in the event that Eddie Kelly doesn't play, I don't know that we're really out or anything. But all that understood, in the event that we are able to officially get him eligible and keep him eligible, he could be a player that certainly could eat up some snaps from us, even if it's 10-15 a game. It's worth it. And one of the things, and I'm going to write about this later at some point, I want to commend Mississippi State, Zach Selman, Jeff Levy, and everybody involved, all the way up to Lee Hall, for being aggressive in all this. Because there have been times in our history, and this is in no way to be critical of anybody else, there have been times in our history we would have just waited for somebody to say, okay, you can do that, right? So we bring Jerron Manning and Malik Sila back to campus in anticipation of them playing. Now, and as Jeff Levy said, there's still a lot of boxes we got to check, right? Well, it looks like the box has been kicked out from under us now. But who knows what tomorrow may bring. But rather than leave those guys at home until there was a final resolution, we went ahead and brought them back. Because, again, there's no harm in those guys practicing. We don't have to turn in the 105-man roster until September the 4th. And once the roster is certified, the roster is frozen. So we'd lose nothing by having those guys come back in, acclimate, get up to speed on meetings, the new playbook, and then let them kind of get out there and run around a little bit and then take place in workouts, because it's a football-related function, but at this point it's not an NCAA-sanctioned activity. Until you take the field, you don't really have to worry about, the 105. You've got some grace with that, and that's important to understand. But Mississippi State, rather than wait for permission, said, hey, let's be proactive here. So what do? We bring them back. Now it appears it may not work out. Rather than just kind of sitting on our heels and feeling sorry for ourselves, what do? We go out, we sign Eddie Kelly. And again, there's no guarantee he's going to play. But how many athletic directors have we had historically that would have pushed the envelope like that? And so, again, I want to commend Zach Selman and Mississippi State for saying, you know what? While this whole thing is going to play its way out in the courtroom, we're going to take steps to ensure that if and when these players are eligible to play, that we have done our part to prepare them for competition. It's great, man. It is. And again, I commend them, and I'm very proud of them for being aggressive in this. It's like, because let's be honest. You got Lane Kiffin down there at LSU, and when he was at Ole Miss, and that's – one thing I'll give Ole Miss people credit for is they don't mind pushing the envelope. And they had Lane Kiffin, a guy obviously that has no objections at all to being out there and kind of being in the face of all this stuff. But Now he's at LSU. Guys, Ole Miss would have done it. And you remember, Ole Miss brought Jarrell Poe to campus knowing he was ineligible. And they thought, hey, we'll work through the TRO and we'll get all this stuff done. And then had to send him to Hargrave. And then they fought it and fought it and fought it. We just haven't done that kind of thing historically. And maybe it's because, you know, because of the Larry Gillard situation back in the 70s and the fact that we don't necessarily have a lot of help within the Mississippi legal system because we're not the law school. But I think it's important, even if this does not work out the way we hope it does, that we take a moment and say, you know what? That methodology, that line of thinking is productive for Mississippi State. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, bar none, especially when you bring a large group to town, and you should. Yeah, you should. You owe it to yourself to get out and make some memories with the people you love the most. You do. And we talk a lot about, you know, self-care and things like that. Man, one of the best things you can do for yourself and for those you love is to spend time. T-I-M-E spells love. It's true. Be sure and check out the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and when you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate. And you can check out the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guests, the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area, plenty of parking. An underrated amenity you don't always think about until you need it. They got you covered. Now, when you do that Google search, you're going to see some booking options. You can book through Airbnb or Vrbo, or you can book through the Evolve website. I'm going to give you some incentive to go Evolve. Promo code BSR10. That's Beautiful Steve Robertson, the number 10. BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay. You could pay more, but why would you want to, right? Just 5 minutes away from the beautiful Mississippi State campus. It's the old renovated country club clubhouse out past the Highlands off 182. So conveniently located to everywhere you want to be in the great city of Starkville. Be sure and check it out today. Make some plans to go make memories with those you love the most. They're open 365 days a year, but you got to have a reservation. Make one today at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Okay, we did have a little bit of a, if you guys remember, I don't know if they still do it in Reflector. We used to have the bad dog section. Had a bad dog moment. Miles McVay, who was expected to be your starting left tackle, was arrested a few days ago. Sam Sklar from the Clarion Ledger broke that story. And Miles was driving a little bit too pure out on 25 out past 12. And I understand the temptation with some of the highways out here. You get out there and you feel like you can see forever. And certainly on 82, sometimes I have to kind of, you know, be careful I'm not throttling down myself. But nevertheless, Miles doing 100 miles an hour, 101 miles an hour in a 65, and then did not have his license to present when asked. I don't know if that just means he didn't have his license. If it was a suspended license, that would have been the charge, like a lot of people are speculating. But at the end of the day, here's my thinking behind this. People are like, what are we going to do? Guys, it's a speeding ticket. Okay, it's a speeding ticket that's made worse because he didn't have his license on him and was in turn arrested. So yeah, that sucks, but at its core, it's a speeding ticket. So no, we don't need to kick him off the football team. No, we don't need to suspend him. Yeah, maybe you don't start him. Maybe you sit him for a quarter or two. I mean, there have to be some consequences, right? But that's up for Jeff Lebby determine. But we don't need to be clutching our pearls over this. How many times have you sped? Well, I've sped a lot, to be honest with you. Matter of fact, a lot of times when I see the speed limit sign, it's more of a recommendation. You know, everybody goes 5 to 10 miles an hour over, right? And so you can begin to imagine, you know, you're young, you're excited, whatever, and it wasn't like a Dodge Hellcat or something. He was driving a Ford F-150, if memory serves me correct. But it's a speeding ticket, and it's excessive speed. Thankfully, nobody got hurt, including him, but it's going to be addressed. Now, the thing that I look at is pretty much every position on that offense has pretty much been settled. Yeah, the left tackle spot's the one that we've today. There's still a little competition ongoing. We think McVay's the guy. You know, Blake Steen's still competing, and we could always flip Shumpert over there to play left tackle and let Steen play right. And so if you're a guy that's in the middle of a position battle, this is a really bad decision, right? I mean, it is. But let's be honest. None of us have the corner of the market on young men making bad decisions. This happens around the country. And none of us, and I mean none of us, are in a position to judge somebody over something like this. If you say, well, Steve, I've never sped excessively, I don't believe you. You may not have gone 100 miles an hour, but I don't believe you. I've seen how some of you drive, okay? Some of you may say, well, you know, I follow the posted speed limit signs. And good for you, right? I suspect there are other things that in your teenage and early 20 past that, you know, maybe you didn't follow the rules. But be that as it may, it's all over with now, and it's up to Jeff Lebby to determine the adequate punishment. And the main thing is, you just, you know, we're right here in the final stages of camp. You just don't need any distractions, right? I mean, why make anything about yourself? And that's kind of what it boils down to, is that when you got a guy that's competing at a position battle at a high-profile position that is an immediate team need, the last thing you need is something like this, right? But it is what it is. So still working on the final details of the baseball scrimmage stuff. And some stuff that was reported, I'm told, is not exactly accurate. And so we're going to be kind of careful with that as we work through it. I've actually reached out to there's talk about us playing in Jackson, Tennessee. There's some parameters with that that kind of have to be resolved, you know, just because of the fact that it is an out-of-state trip, so it's not as simple as you might suspect it would be. But I've actually emailed those people, too, and haven't heard back, which is kind of a confession in and of itself, right? The fact that they don't respond sometimes is a confirmation that maybe something is being discussed. Maybe they're not ready to reveal the details, but if there was nothing to it, it would be easy to respond and say there's nothing to it. If there is something to it, and maybe you're not ready to release that information, then you would hold a response. That's typically how that works in my industry. Maybe you guys are somewhat familiar. Because when you're wrong, people will make sure that they let you know that you're wrong, so you don't write a story or report that includes them that is full of misinformation. So that's kind of how that works. And then, of course, men's basketball you know, finalized a release on their staff changes. A lot of that was already public, but it's now done. And now we'll see what happens as we kind of move forward on the men's side. One thing I'll say, too, it's interesting. You know, there's always something going on. Quietly, things have just kind of gone along behind the scenes on the women's basketball side. There hadn't been a whole lot of stuff. But based on what I'm hearing, there is something else brewing. There may be a new addition sooner rather than later on the women's basketball front. We're not going to, you know, we've got a story ready to go, but we're waiting on the thumbs up there. So while things have kind of been a little bit slower there, there haven't been as many headlines about women's basketball as of late, expect something sooner rather than later. So we'll be back with you guys on Friday. And, you know, maybe we've got some college football stuff to talk about on Thursday. I was just talking to Sam Sklar from the Ledger. You heard that buzzing if somebody was calling in with Sam. And we're talking about the Eddie Kelly situation a little bit, too. And kind of how, really, we're just so ready to cover football, right? And granted, it's been a busy summer with all that's gone on, you know, baseball portal and the draft. And those things happen every year. But in the back half of the summer, we've had to allocate a lot of time and resources really since July 31st, all the month of August, talking about all this court stuff. And it's of interest to you all, so we've got an obligation to cover it, and so we do. But I'm so looking forward to just being able to get to game week and get into a regimented schedule. It's pretty much the same through Thanksgiving, you know, with the exception of the open date. You know, you get your press conference, you get your opposing coach press conference, you get your player interviews, that kind of stuff. Work on your game previews, you travel and you go cover a game, and that's one of the reasons you get into this industry is to cover sports, because at some point we all get cut. We love sports, but we don't get to play forever. And some of us don't ever get to play beyond the high school level. But you write about sports because you love sports. And I'm eager to see Mississippi State play a sporting event. As you guys know, we haven't had one since the Super Regional down in Athens, Georgia. So it's been a long time since a Mississippi State team has taken to the fields and courts of play in a game that matters in the standings. So that's coming next week, assuming a state court judge doesn't step in and stop it, right? I'm being a little bit silly there. But I'm a little tired of all of that, right? Every time you turn around, there's somebody that has an opinion. And so much of the stuff you read and you find out it's not even really based in the law. So, you know, we had some court cases early on that were absolutely absurd. And now we're still dealing with it. And we talk about absurdity. It's just the fact that people think that we should be able to bring pro players back. And to me, the Alabama situation with Betty Ocko is even more absurd than some of the things we're dealing with now. Because I think you could make a good faith argument that, hey, a lot of these players wouldn't have signed a pro deal if they knew they had another year of college eligibility available. Well, that's true. But they didn't have another year of college eligibility available. So the facts are the facts. The Betty Ocko thing is like, you know, he was a draft prospect in 23 and then actually went and played. You know, and now you got this R.J. Louis thing with St. John's and OSU, similar situation. He was in the league long enough to get traded. And then we want to bring him back? You know, it's just absurd. I mean, like, it's so crazy to me to think, well, you know, Steve, that this is what they deserve. Hey, what do the fans deserve? Nobody ever talks about that. You know, we're the ones funding all this stuff. Many of you make you know, incredible financial contributions to Mississippi State or to your favorite school. And you know, you pay seat licenses and you buy tickets and you pay for hotel rooms and flights and meals and things like that. It's very expensive undertaking sometimes being a very dedicated fan. And somehow that's been lost in all of this. You know, what are we doing for the fan? Because there's a lot of times, too, hey, you're making a bigger financial investment than at any point in history, but you're really not getting the return on that investment. And for a lot of people, they're like, I'm just going to watch at home. You know, it's just, I saw something earlier, and I haven't verified this, but somebody said there's certain hotels that are having a four-night minimum. Are you kidding me? Four nights? I could understand two. Four nights? That's not anywhere I want to stay. That's basically somebody holding me hostage because of the demand for hotel room. And it's like, yeah, we'll give you room, but you got to be here four nights. I just, you know, those are my feelings. You may feel differently. I don't own a hotel, but to me, that just kind of seems opportunistic gouging. If you hadn't done so, visit dutynoblebook.net. We had to make a change, but dutynoblebook.net. And you can get signed copies of all of my sports titles. Of course, that's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dogpile, The Dude, and the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. And I got a message Wednesday, I got a message earlier this week about When the Bottom Falls. Somebody had read it for the first time and wanted to thank me for writing that book. And maybe it can prove to be inspirational for you. If you're a reader, perhaps that's a good thing. Come float with us at True S Float Spa of Starkville. I floated earlier this week. My quality of sleep has been better every night. Perhaps that'll be the case for you, too. I don't know. It's worth a try. You know, we have some regulars. We have one young lady who I won't mention her name. She has been floating with us since week one and floats at least once a week and had an unlimited membership. And it sometimes came three times a week because it's the only thing that she's found that gave her any kind of temporary relief for the pain that she has to live with. We've helped her. We may be able to help you. Dial 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to my lovely bride, Dana. She can answer any questions you have. She can get you scheduled right there over the phone. And one thing that's important to know, too, if you do call in and we get you scheduled or you book online, which you can by downloading the True Rest app, you're going to get an email. It's got a waiver. Go ahead and fill that waiver out before you come. Save you a little time when you get there. And we do ask for your first float that you come up 30 minutes ahead of time just because of the fact that, you know, we got to get you ready. You know, there's a video you got to watch and a tour you got to take and things like that. After your first float, you just show up when it's time for your scheduled appointment. And come join us over at jeanspage.com. You can currently get 60% off the annual subscription rate during the month of August, part of our kickoff special. Now, if you're already a Jeans Page member, let me encourage you to go to the football board. And if you're a full-paying member, you have the ability to get Paramount Plus for free. So maybe you're a longtime member, maybe you've been with us a year or two, and maybe you haven't taken advantage of that. Everything that you need to know to activate your Paramount Plus account is included in that message board post that is pinned at the top of the message board. And so you get a chance to watch, you know, you can watch all the Yellowstone stuff, and you can watch, you know, the Dutton Ranch. You can watch Tulsa King. There's a lot of great things on there, a lot of movies, a lot of programming that's available to you. And that is something that is exclusive to the 247 Sports subscription. So not only do you get the best coverage of Mississippi State in the history of the university, you also get the premium package with Paramount Plus. It's included in part of your full price subscription. Now, if you take advantage of the 60% off, you don't get the free Paramount. But if you pay full price, you do get the free Paramount subscription. So again, if you're looking for details on how to activate that, go to the football board, the True Maroon board, and I've got it pinned at the top. Even got the links hyperlinked for you so you don't have to go copy and paste. You just click a link and take you directly to how you sign up and activate. And that's an important benefit of being a member with us, not to mention not just the power of the 247 Sports and the CBS Interactive family, but the fact that you get some quality programming for free just by being a subscriber to Jeans Page. Yeah, it's a great, great, great benefit. So, be back with you guys on Friday. I hope you have a great rest of the week, and who knows what will happen between now and the time that we are together again. But the main thing I hope is that you are happy and healthy, and that everybody you love is free from harm and far from harm. Because we're not guaranteed anything. You know, we're not. Kind of, again, going back to the Dolly Parton thing. I mean, I don't think any of us expected that. I mean, you know, we weren't close in her circle. And then you find out, well, you know, she had a short bout with cancer. And you hate to hear that. But, you know, life is not promised to any of us. If I've shared many times on this show, none of us are promised that bedside vigil and a chance to say goodbye. So let's live our lives in a way that people know how much we love them. That is the one of the most important things, is to spread love into the world. There's enough people beating those you love down. There's enough out there in the world to make life complicated. And it's so much easier when people love you and they're open about their feelings for you and share that they love you. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.